Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I have met a daisy, but where we met is hazy, and I have walked the streets with marguerites and clinging vines beside me. Oh, I've met a lot of beaux, but I never met a rose. There's often been a heather, an armful altogether, and I have even met a violet who almost satisfied me. Yes, I've met every kind of rose, but I never met a rose. Among the dahlias, high up in Sally, I left a lily in the valley. But now and then I ponder and wonder as I wander among the fields and shrubs. Perhaps the trouble is, who knows, that I never met a rose. Never, never met a rose. Am I the one to blame? Who knows that I never met a rose? Never, never met a rose.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I have to say, Pam, I hope you feel better. She's not joining us. She's got what everybody else has had. It's the water cooler and LNP. Please stay away from it. I did have it cleaned up and sanitized, but apparently it's still carrying some kind of laryngitis thing. So just so everybody knows. But we do have a fill-in Twisted Sister. And that would be Puddles. So, hello, Puddles 33, alias Barb. And hey, Naomi.
Hey, team.
Naomi's going to run the show tonight, and I'm going to run the phones. Well, welcome to
Yeah. Yeah, nice to have you with us, Puddles. Barb, great for
Yay.
You to phone in.
Yeah.
So happy to have you.
I'm hoping I don't turn into a pumpkin before midnight. I'm going to do my royal best try to stick it out to midnight tonight.
Well, we never ask
okay.
more than somebody's best. We never expect
more yeah, that's
than
it. Absolutely. As long as you don't drop a shoe. running from the ball.
Yep. Oh, gosh, absolutely. You know, I got to tell the truth. I took a nap. I woke up at 23 minutes after 9. I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like, why did I do that? So I'm feeling a little, I don't know what.
Droggy?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm getting better. I'm like, okay. Nothing a few pieces of chocolate would solve.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nothing chocolate can fix.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the good stuff there. So tell us, Naomi, tell us about tonight's show. Tell us about
We have carryovers from Pam's last show, which she had an amazing artist, and with this surrealistic work, you know, that was really neat. And then she put up a quote by from the book, the French book, Le Petit Prince, which is The Little Prince in English. And it's one of the books that is the most read in schools for French, for English students to learn French. That's what I learned about it. And, well, it's really popular here in Quebec. You know, it's written by, it's a novella, so it's not too long. And it's written by a French aristocrat writer and military pilot, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. It was first published in English and in French in the United States in 1943, and I have to say it wasn't a very big hit when it first came out, but then it really rose. And, you know, the story basically follows a young prince who visits various planets, including Earth, and he addresses themes of loneliness, friendship, love, and law. And, you know, despite its look as a children's book, you know, I don't think it's really suited for children, because they wouldn't, like, understand all the messages, you know, all the very philosophical. And it has great observations about life, adults, and human nature. And one interesting fact on the book is that, you know, it sold an estimated 140 million copies worldwide, which makes it one of the best-selling in history. And the book has been translated into over 505 different languages and dialects worldwide, making it the second most translated work ever published after the Bible. So, you know, I found that really wow, you know. And, of course, it has been adapted to, you know, to the stage, into ballets, into opera, for the television, into film, and so it is really a great, great book. And what's funny is that, you know, once Pam put up that quote, I texted her and I said, my gracious, I was just thinking of Le Petit Prince and all the great quotes that are in that book, and that it would make an awesome contest, you know, an awesome show. And that happens often with me and Pam. We get the same ideas, and it's so funny. But, yeah, so, you know, a great and cheap, of course, Pam pulled from the book the quote that's the most the popular one in the book, you know, the one that's the most known from the book, and which symbolizes all, you know, the main theme of the book, which is, you know, look into your heart and you will see, you know, everything that's important. So
right.
Yeah, so yeah,
nice.
That's
Very,
that's
very
about
nice.
It.
Absolutely.
I see we have Bill on the board. Hi, Bill.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe we have Jody on the line, so let me see. Hello, 513. Jody, is that you?
You still don't know my number yet?
Not like I call it every day, Jody.
I'll just do it.
No, I know. I just remembered it was a little obscure, so I said, yes, I think that that's him. I think I was right. Anyway.
Here I am.
Well, it's good to have you here. And I know Jody's going to help us out with dropping links in the room, and which is really awesome of you to do.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
So, everybody, I want you to know that Jody is our Twisted Mister tonight. So, in case anyone had any doubts, now you know for sure.
awesome to have you, Jody, with us.
Absolutely.
That's it. We have a great lineup of poetry, and like Pam likes to do it every Tuesday, she likes to start out with a classical poem.
Absolutely.
So whenever you're ready, Jody, to put that up in the room, just go ahead, my dear.
Okay.
And then you can give it a read.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we are off and running.
Hello?
Oh, I hit mute, sorry. All right.
I was wondering for a while. I said, oh, my gracious, I didn't already drop.
For some reason, I thought that was going to be a SoundCloud. All right. Here we go. Generation to generation. In a house which becomes a home, one hands down and another takes up the heritage of mind and heart. Laughter and tears, musings and deeds. Love, like a carefully loaded ship, crosses the gulf between the generations. Therefore, we do not neglect the ceremonies of our passage, when we wed, when we die, and when we are blessed with a child, when we depart and when we return, when we plant and when we harvest. Let us bring up our children. It is not the place of some official to hand to them their heritage. If others impart to our children our knowledge and ideas, they will lose all of us that is wordless and full of wonder. Let us build memories in our children, lest they drag out joyless lives, lest they allow treasures to be lost because they have not been given the keys. We live not by things, but by the meanings of things. It is needful to transmit the passwords from generation to generation. End poem.
Awesome read, Jody. And, you know, that was a classical poem by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, you know, the same one who wrote the book, Le Petit Prince. And, yeah, what an awesome poem, you know, has a great messages in it. What did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I mean, obviously, it's a really important theme we should be keeping in our lives, just that legacy passing from one generation to the next, you know, in teaching them what we know and helping them incorporate that into their lives in their own unique way so that they can pass it on to their next generation and keeping that legacy alive, because passing that very important job off to strangers, you really do lose a lot of just that family history that gets imported into all the great messaging. I think it was, it's a really important message for today and for every generation. And it looks like it was, he was born in 1900. So, like, yeah, this is like a 100-year-old message, and it's still relevant today.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you need these great lines. Let us build memories in our children, lest they drag out joyless lives, lest they allow treasures to be lost because they have not been given the keys. You know, I think those are such great lines there. And, you know, as a teacher, I see that, you know, in the last years that I was teaching there, you know, we didn't just have to teach the kids, you know, the school stuff. We had to educate them, you know, because they weren't getting educated at home, like simple things like say how to say be polite and say thank you and please. And, you know, I you know, this poem is so important, like you said, Barb, you know, to pass on those morals and, you know, those deep, those deep things, those deep, that deep knowledge that is more than knowledge, that is, you know, the way to live and the way to act around others, and you know, just your family heritage, you know, that's being lost. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought it was a great poem. Definitely, you know, touched on, you know, the involvement and the upbringing of children, which I think we've lost a lot today. I like the imagery, you know, where he says that, you know, the carefully loaded ship crossing the gulf between the generations. Thought that was careful but deliberate, you know, in the process of imparting wisdom and values and family traditions. Yeah, it's a very great poem. I like the reminder, you know, that the legacies are built not just on material possessions, you know, but through memories and lessons and love that, you know, we instill in our children from generation to generation. It's very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, they want to start school here at 4 years old now here because in Quebec, because they find that, you know, the kids, I guess, in the especially in the poorer communities, they want to get the kids into school earlier because they find that they're not being brought up with, you know, good enough values at home, so they want to start them in school at age four. I don't know about the states how it is, but you know, it's so important, you know, the you know, my kids, they went to rough times as a teenager, but they came back to the essential to what I taught them as being, you know, a good person, you know, down deep in their inside of them, you know, they had the legacy that I passed on, or those morals that I passed on to them, you know, those ways of being that were down deep, so they came back to that in the end, you know. But yeah, it's important that that be passed on. What did you think, Phil?
Well, I thought this was a great poem and a great choice for tonight. And it's so funny because out of the poem itself, here were lines I was going to comment on. And ironically, you picked them all, Naomi, as always. Let us build memories in our children, lest they drag out joyless lives, lest they allow treasures to be lost because they have not been given the keys. We live not by things, but by meanings of things. It is needful to transmit the passwords from generation to generation. If we don't tell our children and we don't share with our children, who is? Nobody. And they're going to learn things that aren't relevant to them and their families and their roots. And that's a shame. It's a shame. And you see it happen every day. People just stepping in and they want to take over teaching the children everything. You know, that's not always the best. In some instances, yes, it is. Other instances, it's just, I don't know, I just find it to be screwy. But I think it was a great poem and a nice choice. So thanks, Pam. And I know Antoine feels better now that I've told him I liked it. Just saying.
Absolutely. He's looking down on us, smiling. Jody, what will be our first poem for the night?
All right. So we're going to have a SoundCloud to start tonight.
Okay.
I got a feeling there might be a truth or dare after the end of this one. Mile High Club or Higher by Eric Svensson. And there it is.
Okay. Here we go.
Mile High Club or Higher. Wired for sound. Well hung, Icarus flies onward. Ready to iron out all turbulence along the way. But les terros, we pass a double in aerial bull rings. Earthly pomegranate dreams of fecundity, fired up anti-gravity aspirations. If birds do it, bees do it, why shan't we take to the skies? All conditions red and instantly trashed. Flyers Icarus did to smooch the salacious sun. Waxed and vexed, sons and daughters of life do just that. Wired for sound, hound dog hungry to cheap steeplechase, well-strung, heart rate keen, to bumblebee thrum. Arms out, back straight, panicures and tail feathers attached to arms, tweak audacious dreams. Life's runway, marked by linear time clock, fog lights, lift off, take off, wide for sounds, shape, we thrive. Ship shape from nape of neck down to unsmocked feet locked, well hung, ready to iron out all incidental turbulence. Mast askew, our dream ships may flounder, squat of disillusions, quicksand like big old Jonah whales. But, hey, ask and a mighty big trees will spring up for instant shade. Ace of spades and pesky heads, monkey see, monkey do, love and adore our Icarus alter egos, don't we? Invincibility deftly defies the gravitas of you shall, shan't, never, ever dare. Top notch, top gun, mile high club, rank conteers, adore dream building or higher.
Wonderful SoundCloud by Eric Svensson. Thank you so much, Eric. And just a friendly reminder, everybody, if you don't have, if you can't call into the show, send in those SoundClouds because we just adore hearing your poetry read in your voice. And that was a wonderful, wonderful write. And what did you think of the write, Barb?
I thought it was interesting. He had me fooled right from the start, the title of the Mile High Club. I guess it really defined my mind. But it's really about, the youth or anyone just trying to reach the sky. The birds do it. The bees do it. Just reach for your dreams and do everything in your power to attain them. So I thought he did a great job of that kind of twisting a common understanding of what the Mile High Club means. So we had some fun with us because it was really quite wholesome and very encouraging and inspiring, right?
Thank you. Wonderful comment there. And Jody, what did you think of it, my dear?
I always enjoy his SoundCloud. I read a poem of his because I didn't want to wait on it to be read on the radio, and I could still hear his voice in my head while I was reading it. I thought, it was an imaginative exploration of human aspiration and a desire to transcend, our earthly bounds. I really liked the internal rhymes and the rhythm that he had in this. It added a musical quality to it. It's very well done. He had that reference to Icarus's flight towards the sun. I thought, for me, that symbolized a yearning to reach beyond our limits, and despite the risks involved. Overall, it's an inspiring call to embrace all the boundless possibilities of our imagination, I think. It was very well done, as always.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said. Yeah, I like, how we weaved in all kinds of different, like the top notch, top gun, mile high club, of course. And like you said, the Icarus there, which is, he's there from the beginning and right, and to the end too, which, you all know Icarus. The story of Icarus, trying to reach the sun and, failing because the sun burned him and he I agree with you, daring, taking that dare to go always higher and higher and higher and, you know, defy gravity almost, like he says in the end. Great poem. I love also this, you know, when he talks about Jonah and the whale there, so a reference to the Bible. And, yeah, just a great write, like Eric can do them, intelligently done and brilliantly clever. And what did you think, Phil? Phil escaped.
I did. I do it all the time. I try not to add any extra sounds to the show. I think, you know, Eric's writing is always wonderful. It's never just, you know, blah, 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 cut and dry. You know, Eric always brings in references from all different places and creates something that's, you know, you have to think about. You really do. Let me see here. I looked at a lot of these different stanzas. You know, I was, you know, arms out, back straight, pernicious, and tail feathers attached to arms, tweak, audacious dreams. Life's runway marked with bilinear time clock, fog lights. Lift off, take off, wired for sound, shape we thrive. You know, the things that we do strive for. You know, ship shape from Naples neck down to unsmocked feet, locked, well hung, ready to iron out all incidental turbulence. Masts askew, our dream ships may flounder. Squat on dissolution, quicksand like big old Jonah whales. But, hey, ask him, the mighty big trees will spring up for instant shade. It's just so much that goes on in here. His wording is always wonderful because, you know, he pulls in, it's not, I don't know, it just all makes me think every time I read it. And I'm not one that can just comment on his off the top of my head, you know. But it definitely is a wonderful, wonderful piece by Eric. Lots of great references. And, yeah, I think the title is a little misleading, but I think that's the way he likes to be sometimes. Just saying. Great job, Eric.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Phil. And where do we go next, Jody?
Okay.
In the breeze. Sounds like there's a breeze.
Mile high, right?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
To Fly By, Blue Raven. And
who would you?
Tell me, you want to read that, Naomi?
Okay. To Fly By, Blue Raven. She consults with birds on how to fly away, aware that her wings have no feathers and that the wind in her skirt will make no effort to lift her off the ground. Yet she yearns to rise above this prairie, to soar high over its wide expanse of emptiness and disappear into the sunlight that hovers at the horizon beneath the threatening clouds. She feels the weight of silence, and for all the natural beauty of suns, moons, and stars in the dome of prairie heaven, she dreams of city lights and mingled voices. I know, because she's me. End poem. And, you know, what a wonderful write this is. You know, so authentic, from the heart written. You know, on somebody who's wanting to leave that country life alone, leave behind, I mean, and to move on to the country. You know, how many, you know, movies are set on that, you know, that we see that, you know, that they want to be a singer, they want to be an actor, they want to make it big in the country life, and they and in the city life, and they move out from you know, their country place, and, you know, to the big roaring city, and looking for fame, and looking for, you know, whatever, just to be more alive, I guess. And, you know, this was feeling more alive. And, you know, this had a beautiful flow to it. It had a beautiful authenticity that I really liked. And, you know, it's just an amazing write to that prompt, to that art. Well done by Blue Raven here. Absolutely wonderful. And what did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I loved her word choices. I loved the softness that had that subtle undercurrent of yearning and desire, of feeling a little bit trapped. You know, youth just wanting to get out and explore who they are and feeling like you're in this box that so far has trapped and contained you, but you are so ready to break free of that. And I loved her wordplay. The wind in her skirt will make no effort to lift her off the ground. Like personifying wind. It's like everything around me is keeping me down. Nothing is giving me an ability to take that first step to elevate myself. And if I'm going to be elevated, I'm going to have to do it myself. And I also really enjoyed her sentences. The wide expanse of emptiness and disappear into the sunlight that hovers at the horizon beneath the threatening clouds. You know, her dream, that sunlight is on the horizon, which is like over there, always and forever, like the end of the rainbow, always over there. She's just feeling the despair of not ever getting to that horizon because of those threatening clouds that are always overhead. So I thought she used really creative imagery to get just an interesting story across. And I loved her last line, too. I know because she's me. So she says the story in the third person, and then she reveals, well, it's actually me I'm talking about, which I thought was a really fun little twist at the end. I really enjoyed it. It seemed like a soft, gentle poem that I think had a storyline that so many youth from the country can really identify with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so relatable to so many, like you said. Yeah, and her word choice is beautiful. She's an awesome writer. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think, you know, it spoke volumes on the human spirit's desire to explore beyond the familiar. I really liked the revelation in her final line, like she was just mentioning. I know because she's me. I felt like, you know, that invites the reader to reflect on their own dreams and desires. Overall, I thought the poem resonated with anybody who's ever felt, you know, that allure to go in uncharted territories, distant horizons. So very well done. It's a nice write.
Oh, yeah, I agree totally. And Phil, your thoughts on Blue Raven's write?
I almost started out on mute. I just wanted to know that. I said this was a fabulous write. It was an excellent take on the prompt to begin with. That first line just really, locked it in. It didn't need the image, but it definitely, you know, you can't deny that it all works so well together. You know, she consults with birds on how to fly away, aware that her wings have no feathers and that the wind in her skirt will make no effort to lift her off the ground. You know, and it's in a rural setting. So, you know, you have to figure, well, you know, sometimes when you get older, you just have to kind of try something new. You know, yet she yearns to rise above this prairie. I thought each one of these stanzas was really, really well done. And I loved it. I thought she did an excellent job with this. So Blue Raven, you know, great job. And thanks for sharing with us, for sure. It's beautifully done and a great take on the prompt.
Mm-hmm. Wonderfully said there, Phil. You know, it's so funny, you know, that, you know, I see that with my friends and, you know, I feel that myself too a bit, you know, because I come from the country by the ocean. And, you know, when I was young, I felt this exactly the same thing. I wanted to go to the big city like Quebec City or Montreal. And I did it. I went to Quebec City, and then I lived in Montreal for a while, and now I'm back in the country, and you know, if maybe later on I'll go back home, you know. So it's fun when you're younger, you dream of getting away, and when you get older, you dream of going back home. So yeah, exactly. And so what is our next poem, Jody?
All right. Next we have Tapir Ade by Lockdown Lark. Hope I said that right.
And who do you want us to?
yes, Bill, you want to read that one? Sorry, I was already on to my next.
That's right. Pick the one that nobody knows how to pronounce, and give it to Phil. It's okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm really not sure, but I would say Sepirod by Lockdown Larks. Can the mysteries ever be undone? Is the humble poppy a hostage to chance? When all things leave, do they become one? Will all then know their life's dance? Unattended in bottles, mysteries must appear, fleeting whispers in the mist of time. May be only known to a spinning blue sphere. Is it romancing you and I in a dimension prime? Does the bird question its wings as it sings, or its daring delight in defying gravity? And whilst air swirls and water springs, the circle of life carries on carefree. So fear not, then, a clouded destiny, of fated encounters and DNA they bestow, nurtured senses from which no one can be, an ego's journey, the destination only once will it know. End poem. Nice piece.
Wonderful read, Phil. And, you know, a brilliant writer, a dare to know. You know, he took us, Lockdown Lark did, you know, he took us not only on dare to know, but dare to risk, dare to challenge, dare to make mistakes, you know, dare to stumble and learn to fly again. Because, you know, there's always hope, you know, of getting back up. So awesome, right? What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought he had great themes in this, nature and destiny and interconnectedness of all things. The imagery of Poppy and the bird added a nice touch, you know, to the profound question about life and existence. There's definitely a philosophical undertone, you know, questioning the role of chance. Inevitability of life cycle. Very thought provoking. I liked how it ended, you know, with a mega understanding. It was very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Jody. And Barb, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It just talks about, you know, all the different creatures, and do they really understand? Do they celebrate that they are not gravity doesn't contain them, that they can still fly? But I especially liked the last stanza. So fear not, then, a clouded destiny of fated encounters. It's like that whole, obviously this person believes in the whole predestiny, where like you it's already laid out whose path you're going to cross. It's already laid out how they're going to impact your life. You know, so fear not. And DNA they bestow, nurtured senses from which one can be an ego's journey. It's like as people cross your path, they touch your life. They change your life. They change who you are. They impact your DNA and how you see and view the world and how you live and move and breathe within that world as we borrow ideas and morals and knowledge from people and incorporate that into our lives. I know I'm seeing a lot packed into like three little lines, but I think that's the beauty of poetry is you get to explore words and follow the trails and the breadcrumbs that they leave, and we're all going to have a different journey. And I really like the journey that Lockdown took me on. So I really thought this was a really beautiful piece of work here.
Absolutely. And that's what it means, eh? Saterode, it means that exactly what I said at the beginning there. What did I say at the beginning? Oh, my gracious. it means dare to know. Yeah, that's what that means, dare to know. And so, oh, my gracious. Phil, what did you think of the piece?
What's so funny, because Sunday night, Lockdown Larks had a piece in Rex's show. And I said, he does such great lyrics. I have never seen him not do lyrics in a poem, ever. And I opened this up, and I looked at it, and I went, wow. Okay, I thought this was an excellent piece. And if I had known it meant dare to know, I would have said, and the title of the poem is Dare to Know in Latin, you know. But I think that this was really wonderful. I think he did a fine job with his imagery, and his thoughts throughout were great. And I really, really liked it. I love this art, you know. And again, we have the birds and the girl. And yeah, I think that there's just so much happening here. And I think he really hit on a lot of things. He took this image and really wrote something fabulous to it. Because the images look somewhat simple, and you can really dig into it and make it something outstanding. And I think he really did that. So excellent job, Lockdown Larks. Mm-hmm. Liked it.
But yeah, absolutely. That's what I liked about this artist that Sam chose, because, you know, you could look into it, the art, and you know, develop your own creative twist on it, you know, come away with it with so many different ways. So amazing artist she chose. And where do we go next, Jody?
That's what I was going to tell you when you asked, what did you say at the beginning? Where do we go next, Jody? But, all right, we got Pomegranate Passions by Betty Page. Bud, would you give that a read, please?
Sure, Jody, I'd love to.
All right.
Pomegranate Passions by Betty Page. Cherry innocence, sweet pretty ballerina, dark pomegranate, passion fruit romance, dancing round her naive head, believes fairy tales, creates real magic, Coca-Cola starlit dreams, shimmering golden, strawberry moonshine, erotic neons, absinthe, bubbly as champagne, cherry innocence, sweet pretty ballerina, dark pomegranate, passion fruit romance, dancing round her naive head, believes fairy tales, creates real magic, Coca-Cola starlit dreams, shimmering golden, strawberry moonshine, erotic neons absinthe, bubbly as champagne, illuminating, pomegranate passions shine, glistening vivid, bright hypnotic blues, rainbow tangerine sunshine, cotton candy clouds, cherry innocence, sweet pretty ballerina, dark pomegranate, passion fruit romance dancing round her naive head, believes fairy tales, creates real magic, Coca-Cola starlit dreams, shimmering golden, strawberry moonshine, erotic neons absinthe, bubbling as champagne, end poem.
Wonderful read there, Barb. And, you know, I had to go and see what prompt 8 was. And, you know, it's actually a picture of a little girl with a spoon, and above her head is some kind of fruit split open, probably a pomegranate there. And you know, she's, and there's a Coca-Cola can in a bag at her feet. And she's just sitting there like an angel. So what did you think of the piece, Jody?
Yeah, I was trying to think who that actress was. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking of the Love Boat and that girl that always wore all that fruit on her dress when she danced. I can't think of who that was. This
doesn't work. Carmen Miranda?
Yeah, all this fruit made me think of that. But, yeah, no, I thought it was very, had a lot of vivid imagery in this with the fruits and the colors, for sure. You know, I thought the reference to Coca-Cola's Starlit Dreams and erotic neon absence, yeah, infused the piece with, you know, Americana and a hit of the Forbidden, kind of what got me thinking about that. It must have been like a childhood sweetheart when I was young or something. Anyway, I thought the overall, you know, she crafted an enchanting world, you know, where the reader could delve into their own pomegranate passions, like I just did, I guess. Very well done.
Absolutely. You know, you take out what the poem gives you, and and this is very, you know, there has so many images in this poem to play with, and the repetition is just amazing. What did you think of the poem, Phil?
Well, you know, I went over and I checked out the image myself, and I found that, you know, I said to Betty in my comment, it seems that things have come full circle, because, you know, I think three times she repeated the lines, you know, many lines. And when I looked at the image, I was surprised there was no mention of the hot air, not the hot air balloon, the Zeppelin, because that's the only thing that I didn't see. You know, she had the Coca-Cola can in a bag, and the pomegranate above her head. And I think it was an intriguing take on the prompt itself. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, and a pretty ballerina, of course, pulls the girl in. I don't know. I thought it was just nicely done. And, you know, Betty has an interesting way of hitting on all the thoughts. And yeah, I think it was a nice job. And I want to thank you, Betty, for sharing. So there we go. Awesome sauce.
Wonderful comment, Phil. And while I go tend to my cat and put her outside, Barb, you want to comment?
Sure. Yeah, I kind of find it fun to dig in and get my meaning without the illustration. So where do just her words take me? And it was to a really sweet place. I loved a lot of her descriptors that she used, like cherry innocence. Who would think to put those two words together? And yet it really takes me to a very innocent, sweet place. Sweet, pretty ballerina. And so that whole thought of ballerina, I was thinking, you know, there's so much repetition in this piece. It made me think of a ballerina that's just, you know, spinning. Do they call it a arabesque or abesque, or where they have that little angle on the one knee and they use their toe to spin themselves around and around and around. So we found that these same phrases and same stanzas were coming back around and around and around, like a little girl doing a little ballerina move. So I thought she tied it in really well. It was a fun read, actually. It's like, oh, I recognize that. I just read that. And it got a real rhythm, and you're waiting to see it again, just like you would a ballerina spinning. So, yeah, I thought she'd a really creative write for me. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's very whimsical and very a joyful piece. And where are we going next, Jody?
All right, next we got A Cat's Pavane by Jack Blue. And I'll read that one. A Cat's Pavane. The moon or Luna's boat very slowly drifted off from the Olympian port as her blue bolero sounded hollower to fall around her ancient love. A clock of merry moments clicked and tapped mellowly deep inside the bottle of her reminiscence, reverberating silently through the feast of fancy. Her little purple coracle, adrift around the bluish sphere, began to take another course, or hover off the ancient grace, for the infinite unknown, where no angel dared sail. Let her clock of memory click and tap uncannily through the crazy clouds or the earthly shrouds as carefree fairy magic makes the doom more tragic. End poem.
Awesome read, Jody. And Barb, I'd like to hear you on this piece. What is your take on it?
Yeah, I thought she wove a really interesting kind of otherworldly landscape, seascape here, starting with the moon or Luna's boat, very slowly drifted off from the Olympian port. I don't know if she's speaking about Olympia, the Olympia of the gods or Olympia of Washington State, but you still get that really tranquil feeling that you do when you're on the water under the moon. And then her blue bolero sounded hollower to fall around her ancient love. Just amazing imagery. So she's bringing in the whole thing. So it's not just a description of some sort of a seascape, but there's also the landscape of a heart that she now is introducing into the story. And then she starts taking us through time. So now we've got a third dimension, which is, you know, a clock of merry moments clicked and tapped mellowly deep inside the bottle of her reminiscences. I love the images that brings up. You know, the clock of merry moments just ticking off in her mind as she's going through memory lane. I thought she did a fantastic job just reading. It's like a little fantasy that's going on that you just kind of want to be part of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you have that also in the last stanza. You know, it comes full circle there. And Jody, you read that so beautifully. What did you think of Jack Blue's poem?
Yeah, it's very rich in metaphor and imagery. It encapsulated a dreamlike voyage, you know, with the elements of mythology, time, and the ethereal. I liked the second stanza, you know, how it introduced the concept of time, you know, a clock of merry moments, you know, contained within a bottle of her reminiscence. I thought that suggested a deep dive into memories and past experience, you know, with each tick, you know, representing a moment in time. So I thought that was pretty cool. Overall, it's a beautifully woven piece on that, you know, allegory and illusion, you know, inviting the reader to really ponder, you know, memory, time, and the mystical journey of life. I think did a very good job of that.
Absolutely. Jack Blue has this way of writing, and, you know, it comes around often, and he takes us to these whimsical places all the time in his writing, and he has his own unique creative style that's just fabulous. And what did you think, Phil?
So, you know, Jack, Luke, I always call him Jack because of his screen name, but wonderful imagery as always. He always tells these wonderful type of fairy tales. You know, he's got great imagery. The tale is always well told. And again, I love his use of color. He didn't use a lot of it in this, but you know, you have the bluish sphere, the purple coracle, you know, the blue bolero. He just adds enough in there to just kind of, it just adds a splash of color throughout. And I like that. And I liked his repeat stanza, a clock of merry moments clicked and tapped mellowly deep inside the bottle of her reminiscence, reverberating silently through the feast of fantasy. I think that was great. The first and the third stanza actually could go one right after the other. I mean, not that I think he should have done that, but I mean, they definitely follow one another and they're broken up nicely by that other stanza. And to end there, I thought was well done. So great job, you know, Luke, and thanks for sharing with us. Great, you know, great write as always.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Phil. And the wonderful right, Mr. Jack Blue or Luke. Thank you so much for sharing. And where do we go next, Jody?
Okay, next would be our last carryover. It's called Tripping to Pull the Trigger by Julie Buck. And Naomi, you want to give that a look?
Whoops, off mute, Naomi, off mute. Tripping to Pull the Trigger, my kind of poem. You were the apple of my eye. As cliche as they may be, it was you I'd look for when my anxiety too large for even vodka to fill. You had me take a huge bite out of life, saying it would elevate me. I was never more level. I'm hearing your quiet. It's loud, causing to gather in me angry confusion because you shut down, you quitter. I thought I'd left that way behind, your silent treatment, always a classic, malings my intelligence and indifference kills. Scratch me where I itch, and I'll hold my six-shooter to your hour apple, not wanting to hurt its core. But, man, I'm tripping to pull the trigger. I'm not hearing you anymore. What only matters is I'm expendable and live to die, and you're just waiting to be baked in a pie. End poem. Cool, right, by Julie Buck. She always gets up in your face, and she's such a powerful writer. Oh, my gracious. What did you think of this, Barb?
I thought it was incredible. I enjoyed every last bite of this poem, honestly. I have to actually go right to the end because she just used that apple metaphor through the whole thing, and I think the guy's toast. I mean, hate to bring in another metaphor, but he's going to be baked in a pie. I have absolutely no illusion of any other outcome in this. I don't even know where to begin. I'm just like, this is a poem where I just feel full. At the end of it, I feel full. It's like there's teasing. It's like first you get her anguish. It's like, oh, man, it's like, you had me take a huge bite out of life. So at some point they had this rich, full relationship, and she was digging it. She was feeling very full and loved, and, you know, saying it would elevate. And she obviously had that feeling of an elevated life. But then all of a sudden everything goes quiet, you know, and the quiet is loud. It's loud. I mean, the fact that she used that way to describe the silence of a lover, I just thought it was so creative. Can you tell I'm really digging it? Like, I'm totally into this poem. You know, causing to gather in me angry confusion because you shut down. You quit her. I love the images. I love the evolution or the devolution of you know, her personality arc that she goes through. You know, she just goes from, it was so awesome, and now it absolutely sucks, and I know who's sucking the most, and guess what? I'm holding a six-shooter. You want to try that again, my friend? I don't know. I'm actually going to go read some more of her stuff because this is itching where I'm scratching, or this is scratching where I'm itching. I don't know, but I don't know why this is resonating with me so much. Maybe I need to go to a gun shop. I'm not sure. But
you know, Julie Buck does that. You know, when her writes, she's often she goes in and she pulls out something, you know, out of you. She just She just itches you. Like you said, there, she just bangs you, you know? Like, takes your face and smashes it against the wall with her writing. Yeah, that's what she does. And, you know, this resonates so much with me, my gracious, all, you know, almost all my relationships were like this, you know. At the beginning, all these promises and all this la, 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 you know, you're like you're in la, la land. And then, you know, of course, the silence. And I don't know, you know, from, I've written quite a few poems about the, on this subject, you know, where, you know, the just the silence, it's just shattering in a relationship. And so I really relate to this poem 100%. And I thought it was awesome, too. I really digged it, too. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I definitely thought it had the, you know, theme of strained relationships. She had very vivid imagery and metaphors throughout. I liked how she established the tone of endearment and quickly shifted to, you know, revealing the underlying issues of, you know, betrayal and anxiety. I thought she navigated the journey from adoration to disillusionment, you know, very well. You know, overall, I thought she did a masterful job capturing the emotional roller coaster a relationship can go on, you know, with love, conflict, and the eventual acceptance of its demise. Very, very good, right?
Absolutely. And wonderfully said there. Yeah, I was going to say, my head is like in front of me, you know, it's like it's rolling, but it's one step ahead. Phil, what did you think?
I think this was an excellent piece by Julie Buck. I love how she started out, "You were the apple of my eye." As cliche as that may be, it was you I'd look for. And then it goes on. I like the next two lines. "When my anxiety too large for even vodka to fill." And I was going, okay, this is going somewhere because Julie's got great rights. "You had me take a huge bite out of life." And, you know, that again references back to that apple in the picture. And I was like, okay. But I think she just did an excellent job. She carried the metaphor well, as Puddle said. And I think that, yeah, it was just really well put together. And I loved it. And the ending lines were great. "And you're just waiting to be baked in a pie." Yeah, I think she put it out there pretty well. You know, so excellent work, Julie. And, hey, as always, thanks for sharing. Really enjoyed this one. Very much so.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you know, Barb, you're asking Jody how he's so articulate at 11 p.m., but I think you're doing quite a fine job yourself. You guys are having amazing comments. Absolutely, yes. And where are we going next, Jody?
Well, that was the end of the carryover, so we're going to start with the contest, A Very Simple Secret. I felt like we should start out with a SoundCloud. And we'll do one by Puddles here, I See You.
I see you. Okay, here we go.
"I See You" by Barb Christing. "Stand straight, my friend. Find your smile. Take my hand, let's walk a mile. Tell me your tales, lend me your heart. I see beyond your wounded part. I hear the child, the trusts and loves. I feel the hope that flies with doves. Your beauty soars, it lights the stars. It blinds me to external scars. It's virgin soil within your soul. Unblemished jewel the masses stole. Subjugate their wicked ways. Restore your faith in brighter days. Belt out your song with joyous lips. Dance to your tune and sway those hips. I see you, friend. We've walked a mile. Despite the pain, you've found your smile. Intrinsic value lifts you up. Believe in you. drink from the cup that fills your heart with knowledge sure. To all life's ills, love is the cure. So take my hand, this friendship's true, 'cause you see me like I see you.
Wonderful SoundCloud. And wonderful read and write, Barb. Oh, my gracious, just amazing. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought that was an incredible job. Very heartfelt testimony to the power of friendship, you know, support, and the healing capacity of love. Very well done. I like the transition from acknowledging pain to celebrating the rediscovery of one smile. You know, that definitely got a hopeful message in it. And overall, I thought it was a very moving poem, like you always seem to be able to write. That's very well done again.
Absolutely. You know, it's very heartfelt, like you said, Jody, and, you know, such an uplifting write on friendship and, you know, which is one of the themes of the book, you know, it was friendship and love, of course, you know, then, you know, the quote was, you know, to listen to your heart. And indeed, love is always the answer to many of life's ills, as you say in the poem, Barb, and so awesomely well penned. What did you think, Phil? Off mute, Phil?
No, you know, I'm good at that, aren't I? I said, this is one of those pieces where you copy the whole damn thing and put it down in the comment section. Picking and choosing lines out of this is like near impossible. So what I've done is that I've picked it up at one part. It doesn't mean that I'm forgetting anything before it. But bend out your song with joyous lips. Dance to your tune and sway those hips. I see you, friend. We've walked a mile. Despite the pain, you found your smile. Intrinsic value lifts you up. Believe in me, drink from the cup that fills your heart with knowledge sure. To all life's ills, love is the cure. So take my hand, this friendship's true, because you see me like I see you. This was excellent, Barb. Absolutely excellent. I loved every bit of it. I loved the sway of the words. You know, some people might say meter, but I love the sway of the words because it just has that, you know, you can get lost in that rhythm, you know, and I love it. I really do. I think that you didn't miss a thing in this write. Just wonderful, wonderful work. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. It was a great addition to the show tonight. And before I bump it over to you, Naomi, I want to let you know that Gray Eyes is with us. Hey, Gray. How are you?
I think he had to leave.
Hi, Dylan.
Oh, he's here. Okay.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's good to have you join us.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Hi, Gray.
I can't hang out long. Sorry. Hi, Naomi.
Okay.
So Jody will find your poem and then put it up.
Yeah.
Hey, Gray, can I share our secret?
Yeah, absolutely.
So our secret
Hi,
is
Barb.
We had like a little private conversation after the last show, whatever, a day or two ago. Come to find out, we grew up in the same town in London, Ontario, Canada.
Wow.
He used to come to my high school to pick up chicks. I used to practice on the dive team in the pool in his high school, the high school my mom used to go to. I'm like, I love all poetry. It's so cool to meet a new friend, you know, that has some history with my history. So, Gray, good to see you on the board tonight and to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
So cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
We also both lived just in Vancouver area, Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia as well, so. That was another coincidence as well.
Wow. Oh, wow, crazy.
It's a small world, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So your poem is up, Gray, so whenever you're ready to read it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you. So this is called Shh. Shh. Come over here. Let me whisper in your ear. See, I've got a secret to share. Listen to me well. Hear the message clear. See, the universe is as dark as night. Shine your love to share the light. Like a star twinkles in the sky, be the apple in your eye. Learn to embrace your faults. Let your truth be full of exalts. See, you are perfect in every way, even with your cracks on display. Let your inner child out to play. Embrace the world every day. Love your life. Fight the strife. Life will be grand when you take a stand. Take a stand. March to your own band. Listen to the beat. Stand tall and never, never retreat. End poem.
Wow. What a beautiful, uplifting, and inspiring write that was, Gray, and a beautiful read, too. You talk about, listening to your heart as it dictates, all that you can't see, the heart dictates, and, to stand strong in your own convictions, and, very inspiring and uplifting poem for sure, wow, and beautifully written to that quote. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a very inspiring poem. In a world that can often seem dark and challenging, I thought, it conveyed a message of self-acceptance and importance of spreading love and positivity, which I think is awesome. I thought the imagery of the universe's darkness contrasted with the individual's ability to shine like a star. The power each person holds, make a difference in their own lives and the lives of others, really. Overall, very uplifting. Had strength, found in all the authenticity of the poem. Very well done.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate that. And it's been nice to meet you.
There you go.
And nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
And Barb, what did you think of Gray's poem?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I'm going to start right in the middle because this is what really caught my eye. Be the apple in your eye. Learn to embrace your faults. Let your truth be full of exalts. It's like, yes, you're not perfect. You have your scars. You have your scabs. You have your shortcomings. But, hey, focus on the truth that you also have so much good in you. You have so much creativity and giftedness to share with those around you. It's all about, it's like a message of it's all about perspective. So choose the lens you want to look through. And so, hey, here's an idea. Let's look through the lens of positivity. Let's focus on what is working in your life and build on that. And that is a message I know I need to tell myself every single day. So I should honestly cut this out and stick it on my mirror in the bathroom to look at when I first get up, because this is a message that I think people really, because we have so many negative messaging things going on. We don't have a TV, so I don't get the news, and I'm a happier person. But anyone who watches the news or has that negative voice, that tape that goes in their mind, either from a parent when they were a child and they carry that with them, here's a poem that's saying, hey, like, be the apple in your eye. Focus on what's good. Build on that. I loved it. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Right.
And what did you think, Phil?
Sorry. Oh, my God, I'm not on mute. Okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
What is up with that? I thought this was really nicely penned, Gray, always. You do such nice work with when you write, show some more of it. And great lines all the way through. And I thought it was an awesome take on that prompt. And I have to say, I think I grabbed that one. Well, anyway, this is what I like. I like these lines. See the universe in as dark as night. Shine your love to share the light. Like the star twinkles in the sky, be the apple of your eye. Learn to embrace your faults. Let your truths be full of exalts. See you are perfect in every way, even with your cracks on display. Let your inner child out to play. Embrace the world every day. And that's what people need to remember. You know, it can't all be serious. Sometimes you just have to lighten up a little bit. You know, that I think that got lost in the world. We don't even want kids to be kids anymore. You know, like, what's up with that? But I really enjoyed the piece, and I think you did a fine job with the prompt. So thanks for sharing with us. Great addition to the show.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
And Naomi, before you go on, we have another player. Okay.
So
Hello, 662. Who's calling, please?
It's Adi.
Identity crisis, I think.
No, identity. Don't do that to me. Infinite destruction.
Sorry. Infinite destruction. Oh, my gracious. Infinite destruction. I don't know where I was going with that one. But there is a poet on here called Identity Crisis. I'm pretty sure, I'm certain of it. And do you have to go, Gray?
I can hang out for one call.
Okay then. And welcome to the show again. Infinite Destruction ID, and glad you could join us. And where are we going next, Jody?
Alright, next we have Park Guidance by Matt29. ID, since you just joined us, do you want to give that a read?
I can do it. Park Guidance.
We can't hear you, ID.
You now.
Not a whole lot better. Try again.
One more time.
There you go. That's good.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
This is Heart Guidance by Matt29. Recognizing emotional heartache takes determination, uncovering the wounds that lay concealed within. All of us build up walls around our hearts, preventing ourselves from being damaged and hurt. We know all too well how easily our heart is fragile. When we first allowed ourselves to feel at school, experiencing our first heartbreak and endless tears, wanting the earth to swallow us up and not feel. The pain of heartbreak is no more apparent than in films, especially The Magnificent Oz and his rejection in it. How she can't cope with the pain and it transforms her, living the nice witch turning evil and wanting revenge. Heartbreak is not as bad as this, and we soon recover. Still, we never really open up fully again, leaving us closed. Choosing to muck around and not settle rather than be vulnerable, often leaving us in situations which are more dangerous. Still, eventually, we find someone and hope they can be trusted. Unfortunately, everyone is wanting to protect their hearts. Sometimes the person is someone who betrays them, leading to more hurt and even more protective walls. Ultimately, though, the heart knows emotionally when a person can be trusted. End poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there. And I'm just going to check real quick with you, ID. Do you have a write on the board? I don't think so, eh?
I do not. I actually, I have something that I would like to share, but would be awesome if a SoundCloud was still possible, because it's one that I kind of did a little theatrical read to it, and I can't mimic it, on the fly.
Well, only that I'm around can we say yes to that. That doesn't happen all the time. I mean, I am always in the background somewhere, but I can put one up for you. You're just going to need to, is it attached to the poem?
It is. Where would you like me to, I actually have both links sit in my clipboard to be able to copy and paste to wherever.
If you put the link over in our topic board for tonight, Twisted Tuesdays, I'll pick it up there and I'll get the SoundCloud loaded. Okay.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and while we're doing that, what did you think of the poem, Barb?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I do like Matt's work. It's that cat and the mouse, the chicken and the egg. You have to open up to see if someone can be trusted. But if they can't be trusted, then there goes another layer of walls, you know, that you have to build up. And I thought he did a really fine job of just explaining, you know, how protective we all tend to be about our hearts. And then we, you know, take that chance and we let our walls down a little bit and we found out, oh, that was the wrong person. That was not the person to let our walls down. And the pain that goes along with that. So I thought he did, you know, a really good job. You know, we know all too well how easily our heart is fragile. When we first allowed ourselves to feel at school, doesn't so much damage happen in junior high? I mean, what's with that? I think we should have kids go from, like, fifth grade straight through to college, because those intervening years, everyone is so dang mean. What is that? Everyone's practicing how to claw and bite. But, yeah, we have to cope with woundedness, and it really is so tragic. But when you find that person that you just you've put your walls down and it's safe, and you put your walls down a little more and it's still safe. And when you get to be totally transparent, man, what a miraculous, beautiful feeling that is for that relationship. So I thought Matt did a fine job just describing how the minefields, the emotional minefields that we all have to navigate in our relationships. So bravo to him. I'm stealing your term. Bravo, Naomi. I hear you say that all the time. I love it. I'm feeling it.
And I read this poem. I wondered if Matt had actually read Le Petit Prince, the Little Prince, because the book does start out with heartbreak. We'll see in the poems to come, there's a mention of the rose often. And at the beginning of the book, the little prince falls in love with a rose. He lives on this little planet, and he falls in love with this rose. And this rose, she's kind of demanding, and she doesn't really return the love, and she exploits him, you know, and so that's one of the reasons why the little prince decides to go on a journey and on to all these other planets, because it's unrequited love from this rose. And so, you know, I was wondering if Matt had read that, because, you know, that was one of the main themes of his write was that, the heartbreak and the unrequited love, and that really consumes you and, alters our interactions and relationships with others afterwards. But at the end, the poem turns into something positive there, you know, when you do find that person, like Barb says, you know, it's wonderful when you can, you know, become vulnerable a bit and let your fences down, if I can say that, and let yourself be loved, you know. Wonderful. And Matt did a wonderful job. What did you think, Jody?
I thought he did a great job diving into the universal experience of emotional vulnerability. and the way we instinctively protect ourselves, you know, I thought, I like the reference, the magnificent Oz, you know, I thought that served as a powerful metaphor in this, you know, for the transformative impact of heartbreak, how pain can alter our, you know, very nature and influence our actions. And a really good balance, you know, with the realism of pain and with a hopeful undertone to it. I thought he, you know, this is another one of the pieces that resonates, you know, with anyone who's ever, you know, navigated the waters of, you know, love and loss. Very well done.
Wonderfully said there. And Gray, what did you think, my dear?
You know, I think it's a true speak. You know, he really captures the essence of what it is to be a human being with a heart that is broken, and, you know, being able to heal from that and figure out how to find love in this dark universe of ours. You know, you just gotta keep shining that light, and hopefully you'll attract the right love to you. So I thought it was beautiful, and you did a great read about it, Ivy.
And ID, what do you read that so wonderfully? What are your thoughts? We can't hear you.
How about now? Sorry.
That's good.
Yep. Okay. So I once read an article that was very kind of closely related to this in a sense that, and it reminded me of it, where there's three types of love that we generally encounter. There's the puppy love, which is described here. And then there's the explorative love. We know puppy love. It's not really real, but it helps us learn that what it means to feel like when love, the kind of idea that even exists. Explorative love is where we kind of we try to dig deeper into what that means, and we usually end up getting hurt. It's when we get hurt the most, but it's also where we find out what we want to love. And, you know, we find out how we feel love should be for us. And then there's the lasting love, where we have settled on loving someone that fulfills those desires. And I think that he captured the essence of how hard it is to, once you've loved and been hurt, how hard it is to settle on being willing to open your heart again. And I think it was a great write, and it was a pleasure to read it.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment. Thank you, everybody. And feel your thoughts.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I was playing around in the background for a while. So good night, Gray Eyes, and thank you for coming and joining in with us. It was wonderful. Yes.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Always
great. Night, Gray.
Much love, buddy.
Good night, Gray.
Excellent piece by Matt, and I thought it was very well written, and I thought it was nicely done. I liked the way he stated himself in the poem. Probably a silly way to say it, but I'm not real articulate because I really wasn't right there. So, but great job, and thank you so much, Matt, as always. Wonderful work.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Matt. Hope to see you much more in our contest. And ID, I see Jody put up your poem, so whenever you're ready to give it a read, my dear.
I got a chance at.
Oh, yeah, the sound guy. My gracious.
Let me hit that button. There we go. let me try that again. Here we go.
Through blood-red eyes, the curse of Lupin set to meld it into my sinew. Yet once more 'twas bound to stain the midnight dew. Resistance is perpetual futility. Consciousness bid thee adieu. For a man to predator of man, frail prey is what I felt I fell into. Five more moments until the abomination performed another encore. Cigar burning tobacco smoke into the air stings my eyes, addiction, chore. One moment taken to whisper humanity into my soul. Oh, return, I implore. the next four, counting seconds, the ticks be coming, drumming, just me, four. Fractures of consciousness, all soul bones, snapping and cracking, no breath for screams, agony unchecked, unfettered, gut-wrenching, final sounds and brutes, drowning and roaring, so freeing from mental monster, another became and I was undone. Swapping the curse of Lupin melted into my sinew. Yet once more shall be staining the midnight dew. I look into the sky one last time before I must bid thee adieu. Thou art prey to what I've become. With sorrow and rage I adore you.
Wow, you just took the little prince to heavy metal. Absolutely. Well, you know, he does die in the desert at the end. So, you know, bitten by a snake. Well, you don't know if he really dies or not in the story, but he wants to go and rejoin his rose on his planet. So he, you know, we imagine that he gives him to death in the end, but, you know, they do go through the desert and almost die there, you know, from, so it's kind of, you know, you can relate it to the book, I guess. Great SoundCloud. And what did you think, Barb?
Yeah, well, here you're going to understand my weakness as a learner. Some people can learn by listening. Other people learn by having to see things. I have to see things to engage my brain, and I am unable to find this poem anywhere. So I am completely blinded. I wasn't able to follow seeing words, so I couldn't track with it. I thought it was very creative. I'll talk about what I heard. I mean, it was very creative. I really felt like I was in like a scene from Darth Vader at one point, like as if someone had transformed themselves from like some kind of a normal person to a more rogue individual. But sadly, I can't comment because I didn't see the words. I actually need to see words for my brain to engage. So I'm sorry about that.
I'm the same. Exactly the same. I understand. But, you know, that was a great comment on the poem for somebody who didn't read it, you know, because I think that was exactly it. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I enjoy how he does his sound file. That's pretty cool. I thought it, you know, plunged into the dark transformation of a human into a lupine creature, a werewolf. I think they call it like lycanthropy or something like that when you turn into a werewolf. I really enjoyed the vivid imagery. You know, it had a rhythmic structure to it. You know, it conveyed the intense physical and emotional turmoil of the metamorphosis. Overall, it's a haunting reflection on identity and control and a thin line between man and monster. So good job. Very well done.
Awesome, awesome comment. Absolutely wonderful comment, Jody. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, my thoughts on this were I thought it was a great dark piece. And, you know, thanks for sharing it with us tonight. I pulled the very end stanza. The curse of lupine has melded into my sinew, yet once more shall be staining the midnight dew. A look into the sky one last time before I must bid thee adieu. Thou art prey to what I've become. With sorrow and rage, I adore you. Through blood-red eyes, I see you quivering under this daunting full moon. I thought that was a great ending stanza. And, you know, it's just this bit of compassion for the prey that kind of, I don't know, it's a little unnerving, you know, to read it that way. But I think you did a great job with this, Romeo, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing a wonderful, wonderful SoundCloud. And wonder, very, very creative, and it took us elsewhere for sure. So awesome. And where do we go next, Jody?
Well, next I'm going to put up your phone, Naomi. Your heart sing. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, so see your heart sing. Look deeply inward and see your heart sing of the sweetness of times gone by, of the brightness of hope to come. It's song reminding us all that we are here in this present moment in the gift of living and loving. It's sweet melody opening up our minds, allowing us passage through to be more caring, empathetic, flexible, and understanding. It's music twirling and whirling, curling around us softly as a warm breeze, wrapping us in its gusted colors, inviting us to dance. Wild and free as it plays joyful games of dreamy childhood summers in fluid braille upon our beating pulse. End poem. And Phil, you can do comments on that.
Yes. Well, it's the first one you've called me first on. I'm shocked. But I think that this is beautiful, Naomi, as always. I love the way you write. I love the delicacy in your words. You pick soft imagery throughout, and it always just, I don't know, it floats like a feather as you read it. I'm not exactly sure how any other way to explain that. But I think it was absolutely gorgeous. Let me figure it out. Okay. I like each one of these lines. I can't say stanzas. Well, I mean, maybe I could. But look deeply inward and see your heart sing of the sweetness of times gone by, of the brightness of hope to come. It's song reminding us all that we are here. It just, you know, it just floats. You know, your thoughts float across this screen. And I think that you did a fabulous job for this. And I'm not sure what inspired you, or if it was just the your prompts in general. But I think it's a beautiful write and very well done. And I want to thank you on that. Great work.
Thank you, Phil. And Barb, your thoughts.
I love that. I know I had a sneak peek of this a day or two ago, and I wrote you a comment in there. I loved it. It has a gentleness to it. It has a beauty and a sparkle, but it's not like a blinding sparkle. It's a luster that you just, you know, it's a pearl you just want to hang around with. And it's actually, I'm actually doing this thing with my fingers, like as if I've got like a rosary bead. And I just watched my grandma when she would read pray on a rosary. She would just rub it and rub it raw. And, you know, that place of comfort, of history, of security, going back in your memories for just a delight for childhood. And I was really drawn to your final words where, you know, and you're talking, of course, about your heart song. And you mentioned love, and you mentioned hope. You mentioned so many beautiful, positive things. And then it comes right down to a dreamy childhood summers in fluid braille. I love that. You know, just it's gives it texture. Your memory has texture like Braille does, as fluid Braille upon our beating pulse. Again, you're giving three dimensions to the beating of our hearts, because that's the through line in our life, isn't it? The heart we were born with as an infant is the heart we take to the grave, and you've got that through line in the fluid Braille upon our beating pulse. I love that, because your through line is sweet, and it's soft, and it's optimistic, and it's just a place, it's a pool you just kind of want to wade into and float around in for a very long time. It took me to a really peaceful place, and I definitely need more of that in my life. So thank you, Naomi. I really enjoyed your work on this one.
Thank you so much. And Jody, your thoughts?
After that last poem, I was waiting on a Prince Charming to turn into a pumpkin or something.
Yeah.
We did that. I'm just kidding. No, I thought it was a beautiful poem. I had a sense of emotional liberation in it. Definitely was looking deeply inward, emphasizing the importance of self-reflection. I thought, that it had vivid sensory in it. Your use of space and indentation in the poem, added a lyrical quality to it, kind of guided the rhythm and flow. Very well done with that. It overall served as a reminder of beauty and power of living in the moment. Embrace the gift of life, right? And thought you did a very good job expressing that. Nicely done.
Thank you, Jody. And I was going to say identity crisis again, but ID, what did you think of the poem?
So these lines right here, it's music twirling and whirling, curling around us softly as a warm breeze, wrapping us in gusted colors, inviting us to dance wild and free. I don't know, I loved that. It almost had a waltzing feel to it, and it, on topic for that matter, the dancing and curling around and wrapping us in, almost felt like I was being waltzed around like on a ballroom floor with my own memories. And I mean, this is a beautiful piece, perfectly written. And I know that's going to sound weird, but I'm a big Poe fan, and the twirling and whirling and curling, the use of multiple inline rhymes is always something that I've been fascinated with his poetry. I understand this is a much lighter piece in its nature, and so you grabbed my attention with those particular lines, but the overall poem was just so just wonderfully constructed, and such a great message behind it, and it uplifted my spirit, which is something that I actually really needed. So it was a pleasure to be able to hear this being read and to read it on digital paper. So definitely a great piece, and I was again, thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Awesome comments. I'm blushing. Yeah, love you so much, everybody. And where are we going next, Jody?
All right, well, so since Pam wasn't able to be here with us, maybe I thought her poem could be with us. So I thought I'd put her poem up.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And Phil, you want to give that a read?
You betcha. Let me see. I'm reading Pam. This could go either way. Just saying. Here we go. Peace Without Perfection is the title by Pam Wright. And this is, I'm going to read the prompt. Here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. So much truth on that. Okay, here we go. Heart secrets, lingering and soul-searching love. The shadows searching for the caresses of light. Found knowledge of kindness existing in breath. Lost treasures, paper maps are unfolded, found. Love in all its glory, dancing roses, thorns. Time will tell. swirling and revealing dawn's truth. Peace without perfection, gazing at the stars. Eyes opened, beginning to see colors bold. End the poem.
Absolutely amazing read there, Phil. And you know what, a beautiful, beautiful write by Pam. I just love, you know, when she talks about the shadows searching for caresses of light. You know, that is such a great metaphor for, you know, everything that's dark. You know, it's searching to be caressed by light, you know, and just an absolutely beautiful poem by Pam. What did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I think you could take every one of those word sections, I'll call them stanzas, and they could be standalone. Honestly, there's just something profound in every one of those word groupings. You could just look into the meanings, like heart secrets lingering. So it's like, again, it's really talking about the wolves that we just read about. So you've got these lingering secrets, and you're wondering, are you going to share your secrets in soul-searching love? It's that, I gotta let my secrets out if I'm really gonna find that soul who I connect with. And then he goes right into the shadows searching for caress of light. That yin and yang of love, the give and take, the nuance that comes as relationships, as souls feel each other out to see if they're a good fit. But you could go down with each pairing and uncover the depths and the layers and the richness that each of them have, you know, message and meaning upon message and meaning. I thought she did a fantastic job. I enjoyed every single one of those word groupings.
Oh, absolutely. There's a depth to this, you know, amazing, amazing write by Pam. Such a talented writer. And Jody, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, I liked how each section kind of, you know, had different aspects to it of existence, you know, such as love and discovery, enlightenment. You know, I thought it was a good balance between the tangible and the ethereal. Yeah, like, I enjoyed her concluding lines also. The eyes open, beginning to see colors bold, kind of suggested a clarity and appreciation for life's vibrancy. You know, this is another one of the poems, you know, resonates deeply, you know, with the reader, you know, and allowing them to reflect on their own past and the beauty that lie in the nuances of life. A great write by Pam.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Jody. And Phil, you read it. ID, are you still with us?
No, he dropped.
He dropped, okay. Mm-hmm. So Phil, what did you think, my dear? You read it so beautifully.
You know, excellent piece by Pam. I loved her short lines. She doesn't always do that, but when she does, well, she does. I think that the short lines all added to the impact of her words, and I thought she did a great job, and I really enjoyed it. It's another one where I could have copied every one of the stanzas and put it in the comments because I thought each one was really well done. But I picked it up from the shadow searching for caresses of light, found knowledge of kindness existing in breath, lost treasures, paper maps are unfolded and found, love in all its glory, dancing roses, thorns. Time will tell, swirling ink revealing dawn's truth, and peace without perfection, gazing at the stars. You're honest to God, it was beautiful. Each one of those, as Buttle said, was really something special. And I love when that happens and you read something and you go, wow, you know, each one of these is so well written. It's not a lot of words, but it has a lot of there's a good punch to it. Let me put it that way. I can't get all frilly on anybody. It's just great work. So thank you, Pam. excellent addition to the show.
Absolutely. And you see, you know, my story of the rose is there, the rose, and she has the rose, the thorns there in one of the section of the poem. So, you know, I think that was done on purpose as a hint back to the story itself. So wonderful, wonderful, you know, wonderfully well written, and yeah, wonderful addition to the. I'm so happy, Jody, that you put it up tonight. Wonderful addition to the show for sure. And where are we going next, Jody? I just want to say thank you so much, Pam, if you're listening and or will be listening, and we hope you get better soon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, Jody.
Okay. So I wrote for this contest earlier this afternoon, but apparently I didn't submit it properly or something. I don't know what. But, so I was going to put that up since it's my turn to read. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
You don't mind.
There you go. Oh yeah, we want it.
All right. It is called Illuminations of the Heart. In my gut resides an intuition, at its core a sense of knowing. It provides clarity amongst confusion. Not with eyes, but with the heart, I see. In meditation, I calm the chatter of my mind, creating space for spirit to speak. It speaks not in words, but in feelings, a language born before time, resonating with every fiber of my being, a guiding star in the vast cosmos of my soul. This secret, a beacon inside, illuminating paths unseen, where truths reside. In silence, they wait to be known by me. In the embrace of night, under the watchful eyes of constellations, I listen as the universe whispers its ancient tales of love, of life, of the infinite dance of existence. My secret, a key, unlocking doors to realms untold, where the essence of all is revealed, in the quiet, in the stillness, in the sacred space within. This secret, my compass, in the journey of the spirit, guiding me through storms, through calm, towards the harbor of my soul's true calling. In its simplicity lies its power, to see not with eyes, but with the heart, to understand the language of the universe, spoken in the silence, felt in the depths. Listening to the spirit speak to the heart requires openness, patience, and a willingness to trust the unseen. An energetic connection, unbreakable, eternal, between the soul and the cosmic dance, where the universe reveals its most precious mysteries. End point.
Oh wow, that was you know, you encompassed all the novel was of Le Petit Prince in this, right? I find, you know, all the philosophical, all the spiritual aspect of it, of the novel, and you really captured it, you know, completely here. I just loved, which part did I love? Oh, this secret, my compass in the journey of the spirit, guiding me through storms, through calm, towards the harbor of my soul's true calling. In its simplicity lies its power, to see not with eyes, but with the heart, to understand the language of the universe, spoken in the silence, felt in the depths. And every stanza is so profoundly well written, Jody. Oh my gracious, you know, it's just wow. I'll comment more, but I'll leave Barb comment. It's just so well written.
Thank you, Naomi.
You picked the exact spot that I was talk about.
Me too.
That's okay. But that's okay, because there is so, it's like I'm at a buffet, and there is so much delectable coinage of terms here that I can pull from.
because I love almost every line in this. I love my secret, a key, unlocking doors to realms untold, where the essence of all is revealed in the quiet, in the stillness, in the sacred space within. There again, my take-home message for this evening, for my own edification, is finding the value and the calm in the storm within yourself. Relying on yourself to feed and nurture yourself, and somehow to tap into that. And Jody, you did a masterful job of putting words together in sentences to create stanzas and paragraphs, which created a poem that takes us into that peaceful place and shows how that gets us connected through ancient times and history into future, our past, our present, our future, all interwoven and all flowing through us, and we just need to tap into it, and it's there and available, and you kind of give us the keys and the steps to access that. In its simplicity lies its power, and to see not with eyes but with the heart. And you say that also in the first answer, not with the eyes, but with the heart I see. So perfectly capturing what the whole prompt was about. That's entirely what the prompt was about. And you did a great job of fleshing that out. I absolutely adore this. Really well written.
Thank you. That's
oh, absolutely. Oh, you're so deserving, Jody. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Naomi, you took my stanza too. Puddles, you weren't aware.
She
switched it from both of us. But that's okay, because as Puddles said, there's plenty to choose from in this wonderfully penned piece, and an excellent take on the prompt. Your thoughts were so very well expressed throughout, and I thought it was beautifully done. You know, in my gut resides an intuition. At its core, a sense of knowing. It provides clarity amongst confusion. Not with eyes, but with the heart, I see. In meditation, I calm the chatter of my mind, creating space for spirit to speak. It speaks not in words, but in feelings, a language born before time, resonating with every fiber of my being, a guiding star in the vast cosmos of my soul. The secret, a beacon inside, illuminating pasts unseen, where truths reside in silence, they wait to be known by me. Wonderful, wonderful lines there. All of them. You know, both of those stanzas, and I was going to just pick the first one. I said, no, that's not fair. They're separated from the second one. So, you know, I have to, that's the way I look at things. If I don't feel that they should be separated, I won't do it. Yes, Naomi. She's seen me at my best. But I think you did a fabulous job with this this piece and with the prompt. So thanks so much for bringing it to us. It's well, very well done.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Appreciate all your comments.
Would you like to say something about your poem, Jody?
As soon as you sent me that link, I was resonating with that right away. I've been on what people call a spiritual journey for 8 to 10 years now. So, yeah, this definitely resonated with me, and that's what I wanted to hit on, you know. And meditation has been huge, you know, and that stillness and that calmness, that's where you can truly tap into, you know, all the ancient lore and everything that you can't see in the 3D, you can feel it. You know, it ain't like spirit talks to you and whispering in your ear, but it's just like an inner knowing that you get in the peacefulness. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Wow. And I don't think we'll push another poem, Phil?
We have 60 seconds left. I don't think you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
no. I just wanted to say, yeah. Is this where we all sing a song?
Together.
Puddles, let me tell you something. One time on here, a group of us were on, and we went to sing happy birthday to one of the members. Oh my God, because there's a time shift, like not a shift, but
a delay.
Yeah, there's a delay. Oh my God, we sounded like a bunch of drunks at a bar. It was terrible. It was just unbelievable because, you know, you don't really realize that there's a delay until you have five people trying to sing happy birthday. It was bad.
It had to be a hot mess.
Oh, my God, it really was. It really was. But we laughed.
Okay.
We laughed so hard.
Okay, you need to send me the link to that show because I wanted to listen.
I don't know if I could ever find it. It was so long ago. But I just remember us all laughing and going, wow, that was bad. But that was way back in the beginning, like probably within the first 2 years we were doing the radio. And I think we're up to almost like 8.5 years.
Wow.
I would tell you. Yeah, we've been on here a long time together.
Wow.
We've had changes, but we're still here. But yeah, that was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Because we all thought we sounded good. We listened to it and we were like, oh, Lord, have mercy. So, yeah, if you and Jody would like to try a melody or two, that would be fine by me, but I'm not joining in.
What I'm hearing, Gene, is to the thought and the suggestion of doing a song, it's a hard no from you.
they say, held to the no. You know,
yeah.
Believe me, they unplugged the karaoke machine when I tried to sing. I promise.
You and me both, honey. You and me both. Usually, I don't feel too bad about happy birthday, though. That's not too difficult. But boy, it was ugly. It was ugly. I think Sam might have been with us then. Oh my God, we just like went wow. I didn't know it was possible to be so out of whack, but it was. It really was. So anyway, guys, look, it was a great show, Naomi. Wonderful prompts. I think you have a good many carryovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll
ship those off to Pam, and she'll manage them.
No, well, next Tuesday, no. You're missing my point. Next Tuesday is supposed to be my show, but you can feel free to run your carryovers.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put them on. I'll get in hold with Am and C, because we were talking about maybe doing a show on Le Petit Prince again, but with more, because there's so many awesome quotes from that book.
Right.
So
it's
such
right.
a philosophical book. So right. we'll see what we want to do there.
Figure out how many carryovers you have, and then you and I will talk as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jody, thank you so much for being our Twisted Mister. And Puddles, thanks for being our
pleasure.
Twisted Sister tonight. We
it was my pleasure.
Crazy.
It was fun. I love the giggle.
Yeah. If I didn't giggle, I'd probably go crazy. But it was a great show and a lot of fun and great poetry for sure. So thank
Absolutely.
You all. And hey, happy Valentine's Day. As Erica
happy
Valentine's
Day, my friend.
Yeah. So thanks, ladies. And thank you, Jody.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Take care.